This would have been a great lesson for last week, since we celebrate communion on the first Sunday. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Paul just stops by to share with us the thoughts on the Lord's Supper. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 34. Very familiar passage. We hear it quite often. I've noticed over the years, Sister Pillow, that we receive very little instructions in this area. So we're going to take this, the few moments that I have with you this morning, to share Paul's thoughts to the Corinthians church, written to them, but for us, for our use. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 34. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he has answered various questions throughout these first few chapters. And now he continues in that vein of answering those questions which have been asked and the problems that have identified. And, you know, you're always going to have a talking head in any church. Brother Davis, you always will have someone who will rat you out in a minute. And evidently there are some members in the congregation, Brother Bogan, that have ratted the church out to the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul is now coming and he's dealing with these various issues. Communion, as we call it, the communion service. Communion, two words, common union. Some people call it a communion service. Some people call it the Lord's Supper. But whatever you call it, it should be a very serious matter. And this is one of the things, Deacon Harmon, you know, I've been concerned over the years about what I call casual Christianity, because I certainly believe that the more casual you become, the more careless you may become. And especially in the area of communion, all of us have, not all of us, but some of us have grown up in the tradition of the Lord's Supper, where it was served at least twice in any month. For some of us, it was every first Sunday during the worship hour and every first Sunday night. Communion was served. And it always, and growing up in my experience, Deacon Harmon, it was a very solemn, it was a serious moment. So much so, and I'll just share with you before we get started on the instructions. It's not normative, but it's certainly what it was a part of my experience. Communion was very serious. And I remember a time in my early youth in the church on a communion Sunday where all we call them mothers, were dressed in their gorgeous white, and all the deacons and stewards and trustees sat in the Amen corner. And we, in our practice, we would go, Brother Davis, to the altar and kneel to receive communion. It was on an occasion that I was a teenager by then, and certainly had professed Christ in my life. And we were about to partake of communion. And traditionally, the older senior saints went first, and then there was a gathering of all the saints to go to the altar, receive communion. On this particular Sunday, there was, because I was a young teenager and prone to some of the things that young teenagers do, was sitting there and I noticed a group of folk. And it was a group of folk who there was some contention in the church. There was not a common union. There was a disagreement. And they all happened on this Sunday, Deacon Harmon, to go to the altar at the same time. Well, lo and behold, right before my eyes, the entire altar fell, collapsed. It was that experience that really changed my whole perspective about communion. And for a while, I had some problems with it because I knew the instruction. I had received the instruction since I was a child. And I had been a witness to an event that I certainly could not explain, but I knew that it had happened. That on this Sunday, where a group of folk who had contention, who had marital issues, who had issues of adultery and fornication and alcoholism, all wound up at the altar together, and it in fact tumbled. It changed me for a long time. But the Lord has dealt with me throughout the years. And I went on to come back and learn to embrace this most solemn occasion. And it pains me. It pains me. I am agonized when we so flippantly, so casually observe this thing called the Lord's Supper. And I would imagine that this is what's happening in Corinth, as Paul has been written to about what was going on and how it was being conducted. And I think we ought to always remember. And one of the ways to remember is that we should always be instructed in regards to the communion service or the partaking of the Lord's Supper. It should not be, to me, a rush through thing. It is the height. It is the height of the worship experience because of what it calls you to do. And so it's with that a particular background of my own experience, I will tell you that the Corinthians were nowhere near where resurrection is in terms of this today. I'll assure you, because these guys, they were throwing a party. They were acting like this was a throwdown for them. And they would get drunk, and they were selfish. And somebody had to write. They said, Paul, please talk to these folks. Is this what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be about? And so it's against that context, that background, that Paul writes these words to the Corinthian church. Minister Brown, could you read for us verses 11 through 22? Verse 20 through 22. Chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. And there we will see something.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 22. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not.
Paul comes and he comes at them very directly. Sister Lovelace, he doesn't pull any punches, and neither should he. He says, this thing that you call the Lord's Supper, it's not. It resembles a dinner party. You guys are acting like drunken sailors. You're acting. You're certainly not acting like a body of believers. And communion, common union, is supposed to bring us together. Paul says, but this thing that you call the Lord's Supper, it's not. And I'm not praising you for it. He said, because first of all, you bring this food, and some of you got little or nothing, and some of you have great abundance. And those of you who have great abundance, you won't even share with those folk that are hungry. And some of you have bought the wine jug, and you're drinking all the wine, and you're getting drunk. Your behavior is aberrant. Your behavior is detestable. This is not the Lord's Supper, and I'm not going to praise you for it. I'm not going to give you credit for doing something that's supposed to honor and commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with this kind of behavior. You folk have become too common and no union. So you can't have this thing that you're doing is not communion. Oh yeah, you're eating. Oh yeah, you're drinking. But Christ is not. It's about selfishness. It's about selfishness. It's about selfishness. Please, please correct the recording, Deacon, Brother Davis. Y'all think that it's something wrong with what I'm saying. I've repeated the same thing over and over because that's what it's about. Because you, I heard some of you with that inner voice, and I saw some of you expression that says, oh, we don't have to worry about this. We're not selfish. It's not all about me. Yeah, it is all about me. When we have communion and you can't stop looking at your watch, wondering when we're going to get out of church, or, you know, especially when we move communion to the end of the service, like it used to be, so that it would get its full time. And then we put it up front and you wonder when we're going to get started with the singing, and, you know, when can I get my praise on? When you guys going to run through communion? Why are we taking so long to make that distribution? That's selfishness. And Paul says, that's not communion. Because communion is about having a common union. The preamble scriptures to this particular portion of text talks about, he says, there's a fraction and there's a disunion. There's a division. Communion is about bringing us together, Brother Bogan, to commemorate something. Paul says there's a problem when you are selfish in your conduct of the Lord's Supper. There is a problem when the proper attention is not given to the Lord's Supper. You are selfish, and whether that be you individually or the church at large. Paul says, you may call it communion, but it's not. And that's what we gotta do. We as the modern day church, we've got to go back to what the word says, and we've got to heed to the word. We can't just rush through this thing, because in a few seconds here, Minister Brown is going to read to you, there was a problem. And whenever there's a problem, you must always state how it should be done. You should always give instruction. So Paul does it. He says, let me tell you what the purpose of communion is. You got a problem, but I'm going to tell you about the purpose. Minister Brown, if you would, read verses 23 and 24 for me.
But I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me.
Paul says here, what you're doing is not the Lord's Supper. He says, now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what Christ told me. Paul says, hey, you know, if Luke could instruct you, because he was there, I can instruct you because Christ told me about it. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Paul says, I'm coming with apostolic authority. I'm coming with the word on how communion is to be done, how the Lord's Supper is to be observed. And I'm telling you that my knowledge is based on my encounter, my relationship with Jesus Christ. So in the churches today, there's even an argument about communion, you know, how it should be served, and they get involved in issues like dress and ceremony and all of that. Paul is saying, would you please just listen to me? Because there's a purpose behind the Lord's Supper. And if you know the purpose, you'll know the intent behind it, and you will understand what the objective of communion is. And it's so many times we don't know purpose, so we abuse the very thing that we should be holding dear, simply because we don't know. And Paul says, I'm here to tell you. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. He says, I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what some other man told me. I'm not telling you what Deacon Sneed told me. I'm not telling you what Pastor Brown told me. I'm not telling you what Pastor Cobb told you. I'm not telling you what Minister Brown told you. I'm telling you, I got this knowledge from Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my experience with Jesus, he told me this. He says, the Lord Jesus, that same night, he took the bread. And it was the same night that he was betrayed. Here it is. Jesus is about to face the cross. And he is serving a supper with one that would betray him. That's how serious it is. It says that you're going to have those that are sinners among you. And so they carefully observe exactly what you do. And they can emulate what you do. But it ain't about just the ceremony. It says that same night he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat this bread. Eat this bread, because this bread is my body, which was broken, which is rather broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So it is at most rudimentary level, communion, the Lord's Supper, is about commemoration, remembering the suffering, the bloodshed, the body that was pierced on Calvary's cross, the body that died and was put in a grave and yet resurrected. Jesus says, every time you do this, when you do it, remember what it's all about. Oh, that struck me for years, Monty. For years, that haunted me. It's because approaching that communion table now, approaching that communion altar now, meant that I couldn't just casually and very cavalier and very selfishly just go there, take the elements, and said, all right, let me get back to my party. It means that I had to stop and commemorate, memorialize, run it through my little brain that Jesus did something for me. I was destined to die. I should have been put on that cross. He died as a propitiation to satisfy God's just wrath. Every time we have that communion service, every time we serve the Lord's Supper, that's what needs to be on our mind. Not our golf appointment, not tea time, not hey, you know, we got to make lunch. I got to meet the group over for lunch. We'll celebrate it once we get through singing here. It says that your mind needs to be focused on the purpose. And that purpose is to remember. One of those purposes is to remember. Verse 25 and 26 says, Minister Brown.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Here Jesus says, I picked up the cup. The cup which contained the grape juice. The cup that contained the wine, the cup. And he said, this is my blood. Drink it. And when you do, remember. Remember not only that I was put on that cross and the nails were driven in my hands, my feet, and that I was pierced in the side till the blood ran out. Remember that the blood ran down. Remember the blood. And he says, when you take this bread, break it. And when you take this cup and drink it, remember. Isn't it amazing that the cup is representative? The cup symbolizes the body that contained the blood, and the bread symbolizes the body that was given up, the life that was taken for you and for me. Remember that the next time you're taking the Lord's Supper. The next time you're taking communion, the next time there's that urge to focus on yourself or your circumstances rather than the purpose for which you are partaking in. That is the common union service. The things that bring us together. And it's one thing, just think about that, in remembering the death and the burial of Jesus the Christ. What if there's any fighting going on? If there's any friction between me and you, you know, Fred, you know, if we got some animus against one another, that should bring me and you together. I'm talking to you, Sister Bonds. Yeah, you know, if there's something between me and you, you know, we need to suck all that up. We need to come in common union because it ain't about us. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our little hurts. It's not about what we're going through right now, it's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important. That's why we can't take this casual attitude, Deacon Armin, about it. Notice here, so far, in our remembering, in our remembering, he says, take the bread and break it. Has anyone wondered why the bread is broken? You know, in some churches today, before you answer that question, I know all of you tried to unmic and tell me there. But you know, in some churches, they insist that the bread remain whole. And some attest to the fact that it should be broken. Well, remember the bread that was being served that night. The night before the cross, it was bread, whole baked bread. So if everybody was to partake, it had to be broken to be shared. That's why, that's where we get, folks, the distribution of the elements. That's why in our faith, in the Protestant faith in general, we will always distribute as opposed to having people come for it, because we serve larger crowds now. And so that's why when you see those 44 deacons up in front to serve 400, 1,000 folk in a setting, it's because we want to make sure that it's distributed so that you're a partaker. We want to make it as comfortable as possible. We want to assure that no one will go there and not be served. No believer. Because understand what was happening before. These people were leaving their homes hungry, Mr. Brown. They would come there. Some didn't have anything to eat. Some didn't. And Paul uses this backdrop to tell you, hey, communion is about sharing. We're sharing in that ceremony. And everybody needs to be on one accord. Nobody needs to be thinking about himself. So in our expression, yes, we have deacons that hand out the elements, making sure that you can participate in this most solemn event. And it's not just about that bread and that juice, that wafer and that juice. It's not just about that. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about you and how you view the cross. It's about you and how you view the resurrection. It's about you and how you view the ascension. In other words, when you take of this body, when you take of this blood, you have a common union with the one who instituted by his death, by the shedding of his blood, this new covenant, this new testament that says, for all of those that believe and confess in their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived, he died, and he was resurrected, that this new covenant, this promise is that you will be with him in glory. Not that you'll get new houses, not that you'll get new land, but you will be with him. Think on that, Sister Vanessa. Think on that one. I see the wheels turning in your mind. You think on that. So now we're looking at what the purpose is. The purpose is for you to remember. And then for you to know that you know, that you have a relationship with him, that you understand that you are thankful for what Christ did for you on Calvary. Notice, Minister Brown read each time, and he took the bread and he gave thanks. Do you realize Jesus Christ thanked God the Father for the opportunity to die for you? Jesus Christ thanked the Father for the opportunity to shed his precious blood for you. Yes, you. That's what you're remembering. That's why you can't be casual. That's why you can't be blasé about this thing. That's why you, you know, we got to go. Oh, we got communion today? Oh, yeah, well, that means the service will be 15 minutes extra, you know, by the time. The deacons are too slow. They serve the communion too slowly. They walk and they have to do this. Every second that you spend before consuming that bread and that wine is so that you can remember what Christ has done for you. Minister Brown?
Well, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.
He says, Minister Brown, he says, as often as you do it, you ought to remember until he comes back. Until he comes back. So you're not only embracing the life, the death, the resurrection, that and the ascension of Christ. You're celebrating that one day he's going to physically come back for you. You're going to be with him and he with you in eternity forever and ever. He says, do it. Till he comes. So that says there will not be a month, a day, a year that you don't do it. You ought to do it often. You ought to always be doing it. And matter of fact, in some expressions, they actually have communion. Communion is served in some churches every day. We set aside a time once a month for communion service. And when we're in in-person Bible study, it's twice. It's once on Sunday and once on a Wednesday night. And there's some reasons for that. You wonder, you know, when I was young, you know, we always had communion at night. It's because the saints of old were trying to replicate even the time. But here is clear, as often as you do it. Paul didn't say when to do it. He says, but as often as you do it, every time you do it, it ought to be done with solemnness and respect, and a reflection and a remembrance of what Christ has done for you. So Paul thus ends in verse 26, the purpose. So this is what it's about. And in that purpose, Sister Davis, I don't see anything in there about your feelings. I don't see anything about your comfort All I see the Apostle Paul saying, Terry J, is that you ought to be serious about this. Because there's nothing funny. There's nothing that calls you to have a dinner party atmosphere. And, you know, we can go into all the nuances while we do things. That's not my intent this morning. Because people still differ about this. But Paul, Minister Brown, if she read it correctly, she read that when I come to you, he says, I'm telling you what Christ told me. So who you gonna believe? You gonna be Christ? Are you going to believe your local congregation of deacons and trustees and mothers of the church and the bishops and the potentates and the pastors and the ministers? What they are you going to believe them, or are you going to believe Christ? And this is so, and this is why in many cases there is a division on that, because, you know, depending on the faith, some people believe that when you're taking that bread and that wine, you are actually, that the moment it is blessed, you are taking the body of Christ. Roman Catholicism says that you're taking the blood, substantiation. That's a little fancy term for that. But Sister Lovelace, I hear what the word says. He says, this is my body. It was broken for you. And since I can't reach out and physically touch that body, what does that mean? He says, I'm glad you asked, because I got the solution. There is a problem. I've stated the purpose. I've given you some instructions on it. Now let me give you a solution to it. Sister Brown, verse 27, 28.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
29.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
He says, here's the solution. First of all, examine yourself. You know what you did last night, last week, yesterday, and you're going to come and plop yourself up in the church on first Sunday, dressed in your royal white, you know, or your casual blue jeans and cutoffs, whatever, however, you know, you're dressed, and your mindset is just on you. He says, you ought to examine yourself. And that examination should include, Lord, where am I? Who am I? Lord, have I done all that you asked me to do? Lord, have I done any that you've asked me to do? Lord, I profess to love you. I profess to have a relationship with you. And it is at this time that I want you to examine me. I've examined me, and I find myself blatantly wanting. So, Lord, you examine me. That's why there's always that prayer. It's not just a prayer of thanks, but it's a prayer that we are accepting these elements for the purpose in which they are given. That we have examined ourselves and found ourselves wanting and asked for forgiveness before you stick one wafer in your mouth, one breadcrumb in your mouth, before you let the juice of the wine touch your lips. You ought to always ask for forgiveness. You ought to always examine yourself. Because if you do it and you know you're not right, you may experience what I call the altar experience of communion. that I witnessed personally with my eyeballs, Brother Bogan. That altar fell. And in that altar fell, the thing that I remember most about it is that the two factions, and we'll say people here, that were contending against each other, when the altar fell, no one was hurt but those two people. Seriously. One knocked out teeth, the other one broken jaw, arm. Because they hadn't examined themselves. Because they were playing with God. I believe that. I believe exactly what you're about to hear. It says, if you do this unworthily, you drinketh, you eateth damnation to yourself. Not discerning the Lord's body. That not discerning the Lord's body is quite controversial also. Because those who believe in substantiation believe that that's how they get the fact that, you know, this is the Lord's body, this is the Lord's blood, and you're drinking it. But you know what? You don't have to argue about it. If I had the time, and when you get some time, just read Luke 24. It'll answer that question for you. All those great minds of the world, Sister Hollis, that have argued about this, you know, the Catholics, the Lutherans, you know, Martin Luther and his expression of it, all they had to do was read Luke 24. And they would know what discerning the body is. Because, folk, in that discerning of the body, it says you have not understood that God is with you, that Jesus is with you. And it makes so much sense now, Sister Davis. It says, in order for you to be so selfish and to act so aberrant during communion, so disrespectful, it says that you don't even acknowledge the Holy Spirit that's in you. Because we know that's how he's with us now. This communion is something else. Minister Brown, we've got to go to church. So read 30 through 34, and I'll share with you.
For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
Notice that Deacon Sneed didn't say that. Minister Brown read that, but Deacon Sneed didn't say that that's the reason that some of you are sick. But Paul said it very clearly. He says, some of you are under judgment for the way that you have acted in this thing they call the common union in the serving of the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Minister Brown?
Well, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
But if you just examine yourself, if you judge yourself, if you say, Lord, have mercy on me, you don't have to really have that judgment. You judge yourself. You know what you've been doing.
Amen.
You know where you were last night. You know what you did before you're going to stick those elements in your mouth. Before Amen. You're going to come all cavalier and all rushed. I got to go home. We got a soccer game today. Jesus Christ died for you. He didn't die for a soccer ball. He died for you. And you can't spend a few moments in quiet reflection. And in that judging yourself, he says, what you're doing, he says, you're not only commemorating in judging yourself, you're making a commitment. You're saying, Lord, I've messed up during the week. I've messed up during the month. But have mercy on me. Oh, whoa, whoa. I'm teaching this thing a lot better than y'all responding to it. I guarantee you. Because it's straight from Paul. It's straight out of the word. Minister Brown, let us go to church. 31, 32.
We are judged. We are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come.
My brethren, when you come together for a communion, didn't it say you ought to tarry one for another? Did anybody look at that with me this week?
Amen.
He says, not only do you have the commemoration, not only do you make the commitment, you build community. Oh Lord, somebody help me today. But we're so rushed. We think that little time that we give God on Sunday morning, that, oh, that's just enough. And oh my goodness, you mean we got to spend an extra 15 minutes in communion? Or I don't go to communion. I stopped taking communion because, you know, the communion service is even longer. You're already in there. In old days, it was 2 hours. Now you're already in there 50 minutes. You mean to say we got to take 60 minutes? So let's just hurry up and do this thing. It's too serious. If we don't take this serious, what do we take serious? If we don't take the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ serious, what do we take serious? Why are we a church? Why do we call ourselves the church? How are you connected with this body called the church? And you want to observe communion in the way that Christ has instructed us to do it. That was a problem. Paul stated the purpose by giving an instruction what needs to be done. And he gives a solution here. And lastly, he says, a very practical one. See, because all heretofore, he's been very spiritual. Minister Brown, he's been very spiritual.
Yes.
He says, at a minimum. Did y'all see verse 34? Y'all heard Minister Brown. She said it. She didn't equivocate one bit. She says, and if any man is hungry, let him eat at home, and ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Paul says that as a practical matter, one of the solutions is that if you're hungry, stay home. Because you're not going to feed. You know, you want to get, can I have an extra communion cup today? I'm a little thirsty. Yes, we've had people ask. If you're hungry, stay at home. Give us a few more seconds and you'll be on your way. You can go to anywhere you want to and eat. What Paul is saying here, you can focus on the hunger. You can focus even on the drinking of the wine and have it. He says, but what it comes down to is that he says, avoid those things that would distract you from observing and then committing and then communing with the fellow saints. He says, just avoid it. And he says, now, the rest of this, I'll set straight when I come. He didn't say when Jesus comes. He says, when I come. So I'll tell you the same thing. We will reserve this lesson for another time, Sister Ogletree. And so when I come before you again, or when I have a lesson in and I throw it in evangelism, or I throw it in deacon's ministry, or I throw it in any form where I'm asked to do, then I'll set things further. And the reason why that's setting them further is that people have to be reminded. That's all. People have to be reminded that there's a purpose behind communion, and it's a most serious one. And we need to take the Lord's Supper very serious. God bless you. God keep you.
is my prayer.